And we are back, Sir Ripe Show Podcast. I'm your host, Travis Fulton. Thank you for making us part of your day. Let's get right to it. Another week, another event on the PGA Tour, Zozo Championship this week. And joining us from his basement in New Jersey, our man at Read the Line, Keith Stewart. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well. The studio is quite warm this morning. Record temperatures up here in the tri-state area. Yeah, we're going to reach like 85 degrees for mid-October, so a little Indian summer. And, you know, there's a lot of like hype in the sports world over there in Japan between Shohei Ohtani and then Hideki playing the Zozo this week. I mean, sports is center stage over there.
Yeah. Well, MLB got what they wanted. I mean, it's set up for big markets. It's not like the NFL. You can spend as much as you want. I mean, I think the Dodgers are like 320 million payroll. The Yankees are 308 million. Your average salary in Major League Baseball, I think, is right around 150 million. So you got these teams spending twice the amount. And hey, rumor has it, if you got the money and spend it, you're probably gonna get pretty good players.
Well, it hasn't really worked out. I don't know if you've been following, but the Yanks haven't been there in 15 years, and the Dodgers only have one World Series to show for all their spending over the last decade. So enjoy it while you can, because next year it'll probably be Houston and Washington again or something.
Hey, careful. Be careful throwing that Houston thing around here. You're talking to a Mariners fan. We just spend, you know, every year we spend right around like 158, you know, they kind of throw the fan base a nugget, you know, big market, Seattle, and they like, yeah, we'll just get just a little bit above the average or, you know, somewhere in there and just continue to make the playoffs or miss the playoffs, I should say, every year. But yeah, I'll be watching. It's cool. You know, two iconic franchises and it should be, I mean, and just full of talent, right? Stars. I mean, my God, you got Aaron Judge and Ohtani, as you mentioned. Mookie Betts is the man.
Juan Soto.
I mean, these guys.
Giancarlo, yeah.
It's loaded with talent. That's what you get when you spend money, and they have it, and they got good pitching too. So it'll be fun to watch. And this time of year, I mean, there's so much stuff going on. I mean, the NFL. I was up in Atlanta over the weekend watching some football up there. Seattle, Atlanta. That was fun getting a W on the road, and you know, so we're just like full circle. The NBA is getting ready to start.
Tonight.
Need more TVs. You know, I got three in the cave. I think I might need to install a couple more.
Don't hold back. Go to five instantly. Double it up. Go to six. Go from three to six. You know.
And professional golf. Last week, JT Poston. My goodness, he gets his third win. I was going back and just looking, you know, at his career, and I know JT a little bit, and you know, his first win, of course, was the Wyndham. Then he wins at the John Deere, and then here he is in the Shriners. And you go back, you know, he starts to kind of put things together late summer, early fall. Seems like his iron game starts to wake up. We know JT can putt. You know, that's his strength. But when his driver is reasonable and he tends to spike with the irons, he'll get up there, and he's not afraid to win number three on the PGA Tour.
Yeah, I mean, and I don't know who saw it coming, but God bless him. Because the last two tournaments that I saw JT play in, he was atrocious. And he mentioned it himself. He's like, man, I'm just playing horrible. Then he hasn't teed it up in 2 months. Goes to a place. He's obviously comfortable. Top five last year there at Shriners. But he was impressive this week. And, he can putt. But it goes to show you, winning on the PGA Tour isn't easy. Those last couple holes, man, he was steering it at the hole as best he could just to get through. And you got to give Doug Gim some credit. You know, he put the pressure on when everyone else kind of folded there on Sunday afternoon. It was the fall has been really entertaining down the stretch in all of these tournaments. You know, we had a playoff at the Sanderson, you know, brand new winner from the Corn Ferry there at Black Desert. He hit that like unbelievable approach on the 18th and two. And I mean, it's been great. It's been great theater. I mean, I know no one's watching. But if you were, it'd be good.
Yeah. Well, Doug Gim, I mean, he's just the opposite. I mean, he's going to come at you. He's going to, you know, do enough with his driver. His iron game is spectacular. Yeah. And then it's just, you know, can you get anything with the putter? And that was the first time Doug Gim has finished positive strokes gained putting since the end of May at the Charles Schwab. I mean, we're on a run of red here for Doug Kim.
And like the end of World War II or something.
Yeah, I mean, he's so good with his irons. I mean, just living positive five, positive six. And, you know, we talk about it a lot here on the show where those kinds of players, it's got to be frustrating because you're just sitting there in the fairway. Your iron game's better than most of the guys you're playing against. You know, Gim short game is pretty good, but his putting is just like, man, I can't make enough putts. Like Joel Damon can't make enough putts. And it just goes on and on. I was happy to see along that line. I was happy. We talked about Gary Woodland, which I'm sure we will again here today.
Yeah.
We talked about how he was making a change. You know, rumor had it that he was going to maybe a lab putter. I don't know if he actually did put the lab in play, but I do know he's been working a lot with the lab. And, rumor had it that he was going to put something different in play. He did. And boy, it was a big difference. I mean, his putting looked much, much better, as did Doug Kim. So, hey, who knows? Get to the fall. All of a sudden, you find something with the flat stick and off you go. All right. So we got to move it over to the Zozo now. And this term is a little bit different because, well, A, it's in Japan. B,
yeah.
You know, B, there's 78 players in the field. And C, we have no cut. We've seen this golf course before, Keith, but let's give it its due diligence. Share with the audience what this course is about and what kind of player we're looking at.
Well, I'm going to add a D in that there's only 64 PGA Tour players there. There's 14 guys from the Japanese Tour that earn their way on. So the field is actually at the elite level, even smaller. And E, you have a couple top 10 players in the world that are all of a sudden showing up in the fall, which will make a difference. You've got Xander Schauffele, Colin Morikawa, and Hideki Matsuyama. Hideki obviously at home over there in Japan. But Accordia Golf, Narashino Country Club, is a place that we're familiar with. Four of the five editions of the Zozo Championship have been contested here, right there in Tokyo, in Chiba, Japan. Par 70 golf course, short, about 7,000 yards. It's got some bipolar par fours, is what I like to call it. It's got five. It's got 10 of them total, but it's got five that are under 425 yards, and it's got five that are over 480. So that's an interesting blend of skill set there, a little hybrid long iron wedge type player that we're looking for on approach. No doubt, three par fives and five par threes.
Yep.
Another lean towards the approach players. When I get into these types of golf courses that are par 70, I love to look at the par 70 scores, which I'm sure we'll talk about at some point, but those are guys I'm leaning on. And when you have so many short par fours and three par fives, that gives you six or seven holes where you're going to need to score with some sort of awkward wedge approach in between like 30 and 80 yards, right? I love to look at the scramblers. I think that's a bit of the secret sauce. It's certainly proven in the guys that have played well there. Keegan and Hideki are two of the best pitchers of the golf ball, that are currently playing out on tour. You know, those guys have absolutely impeccable short games from, you know, in that range, that 50-yard range, just really, really crispy there. So something that I'm definitely featuring as I'm looking towards what we're doing here. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you had you mentioned Morikawa. He won here, 23. Keegan, 22. Hideki, that was cool. In 21.
Yep.
And then Cantlay was at Sherwood in 2020, and then Tiger in 2019. We should probably mention E also. It's the strangest looking trophy in professional golf too, with the big circle. And I've been searching for the picture when I was Tiger in 2019 for Halloween, and made the trophy. I made that trophy and was walking around with it. I'm not a big like dress up guy for Halloween, but we put that one together and I was really proud of it. Of it. I can't find the picture on my phone.
You mentioned the uniqueness of that place. You're going to see it this week on every hole, but all 18 holes have two greens. So over in Japan, the elite golf courses, they put in two greens. They put in a Bermuda grass one and they put in a bent grass one so they can play 12 months of the year. And they always have great putting surfaces. So this week, they're going to use 17 bent grass greens in the fourth hole for some reason. I'm sure it has to do with maintenance or whatever. They're using the Bermuda grass one, but overall, bent grass putting, and it really looks kind of odd when you're watching these guys and they do the drone footage or whatever, and they look and you're like, okay, where are they hitting this thing? You know, and even the announcers have to pay attention.
All right, well, let's get after it. only 78. Maybe I could pick a winner this week. I mean, it's just been kind of one of those years for me. I know you've been hanging in there. With how many winners you got this year between
10
PGA? You got 10 on what tour?
10 on LPGA and the PGA tour.
Okay, five of each. You got 10 total. All right, five of each. All right, you ready? We ready to get after this? All right, a little something we call first click.
I'm going first?
Yeah. Or do you want me to go first?
I'll go first.
You had your chance. You had your chance. I'm going first because I don't want you to take my guy.
All right. Who's your guy?
So, you know, Mike, you know how I go, right? And all this team no putt all of a sudden, you know, coming to life here. Gary Woodland figuring out how to putt. Doug Gims figuring out how to putt. Well, why not Kurt Kitayama? Kurt Kitayama just might be the best ball striker in this field right then. You go back the last 2 weeks, okay?
Yeah.
Kitayama, positive 6.3 approach at the Shriners.
Yeah.
Positive 10.6 approach at Black Desert. 10.6, positive 7. I mean, this guy has really improved his ball striking. Now, to no surprise, he's been working with Chris Como, and you know Como's clients. He's got some higher name profiles that tend to get the spotlight. But I talked to Chris about Kurt, I would say about 3 or 4 months ago.
All right.
And I was kind of just going through and looking at swings and I was just doing a comparison, right? And here's Kitayama's swing a year ago. Okay. Now this is when he won down in Orlando.
Okay.
Bay Hill, swing?
Yeah.
See that left arm? All right. So early hinge, watch this. Early hinge. See that? Club head's working up. Left arm, very upright. Always had that upright left arm kind of across his ear, right? Okay, so now we fast forward. Okay, so check this out. All right, so now look at the difference here. I mean, these are wholesale changes. Look at the difference in that first move. Remember that club head was like up and out in front of him, right?
Yeah. Yeah,
picking it up, that left wrist.
Like Jim picks it up.
Yeah, so that left wrist right there, flat. He's working that left wrist into more flexion, his left arm more around him. These are big changes, and I'm talking big wholesale changes. All right, so you go to last year. Kurt Kitayama, strokes gained off the tee, 126th. Okay, strokes gained approach last year, 49th. This year, strokes gained off the tee, he's 17th. I mean, you want to talk about improvement. 126 to 17th. That's huge. That's huge improvement off the tee. Strokes gained approach last year 49th, this year 14th. I mean, the guy is a ball striking machine right now off the tee. His iron game, he's had some success here in the past, including a top 20 last year. Team no putt. Let's keep it rolling this fall. Kitayama goes positive 3. In Japan and wins.
I mean, average winning score at that place is 15 under par.
It fits.
I mean, no, but like, do you think he really needs to even go positive 3 with the putter? Like, if he went positive 0.5 and he strikes it the way he has the last couple weeks, I mean, he's in his first starts of the fall, he's gained a tee to green plus 7, right? The guy is legit. It's fantastic. And correct me if I'm wrong, but the last couple winners here aren't necessarily flat stick aficionados.
That's right.
Morikawa,
exactly right.
Bradley, Matsuyama. You know, those leaderboards aren't littered with guys, you know, that basically know how to super roll the rock. So I don't know, man. You know, like it's interesting. You must have been reading me yesterday because yesterday, you know, every Monday I do an odds drop article when the board comes out. Best value, worst value with the guys over there at Golf Digest, right? Mm-hmm. So my best value on the board was Kitayama. He was 35 yesterday. He's down in the 20s already. He was my first click. So you're lucky you went first, but yeah, Kitayama for sure.
That was your first click.
That was definitely my first click. I wrote about it yesterday. It's published. You could go check it out. I mean, no doubt that he is. I mean, I just think this is one of those places where you don't have to be the world's greatest putter, and there are very few guys striking the ball as good as him. And don't get me wrong, JT Poston didn't look very good 2 months ago. He just rolled in as a top 50 signature player and just took home the Shriners. But Kitayama was in that last group, right? Now, he didn't get the job done. He didn't putt well, but the guy is felt a little heat last week, right? Yeah, and I get it. A month ago, the President's Cup, those big three, Colin, Hideki, and Xander, those guys could roll right in here to Zozo, no cut, get warmed up on Thursday, and then just, you know, hit the gas pedal on, you know, Saturday and Sunday and take this. I mean, Xander could win this thing by 10. So could Hideki. I mean, I get it, right? But Kitayama has the ball striking capability to keep up with those guys, and he's playing right now. He's in practice. He's in form. I love Kitayama this week. Love it.
All right, well, let's go above him now. So since that was both our first looks, and we didn't know that, folks. Maybe I did instinctively. That's why I went first, was because I knew he would steal the thunder and explain it much better than I could. But
he's got two top 30s at the Zozo.
I know. You go to the top of the board, all right? And Schauffele, all right. Probably not going to bet him at 4-1. Colin Morikawa, 7. Hideki's 8 right now. Sungjae's 14. Thagala is 18. If you had to pick one, where would you lean?
Hideki.
Okay.
And the only, first of all, Xander's the best player there by far and deserving of his position. He loves this event. He loves to go over there. He's got, you know, Japanese family heritage, so he takes a lot of pride in going over there. But this is Hideki's Super Bowl, and I know he hasn't played well there the last couple of years, but he was dealing with the neck and the back. I think, by all means, Hideki's at home. Hideki is the name at the top there. And going back to my secret sauce and talking about the scrambling factor of it, I mean, is there a better scrambler on that top of that board than Hideki Matsuyama? There isn't.
No,
and
probably not.
If we're going to lean on Kitayama and kind of not pay attention to the putter, then we could certainly do that with Hideki, and Hideki is easily as good a ball striker as Kitayama is, for sure.
Yeah, I was trying to go back to, because it was 21 when he won? 2021? Yeah, Hideki.
Yeah.
Does that sound right? And so when...
Yes, so we 2021, 15 under.
Yeah, 15 under. And God, you forget that Hideki won FedEx St. Jude back in August. At least I just did. And he was losing really that good that week. His putting was unbelievable.
And then he was one off the lead of the BMW, and then he withdrew after round one. See ya. Gotta go. Going to Japan. See you later. I'm back at the Tour Championship.
I do feel like over the last couple years, Hideki has become a little more of a consistent putter, better. You know, like that is his opportunity in his game. And it felt very problematic there for a while. But I do feel like in the last 20 to 24 months, it feels like he has improved his putting some. And I think he's elevated his maybe not so much his ceiling, but it feels like his floor. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like it's come up.
Yeah,
like
sure.
The whole thing's a little bit better. And this is his Super Bowl. You're right. This means everything to him. And I know he's won it once already, but he's going to be focused. And I think that's where I would lean too. I think that's where I would lean up top.
And like, you know, he won a green jacket. He is a hero over there. This is their biggest event on the golf, you know, schedule, right? And, you know, with all this attention on Ohtani, you know Hideki would love to grab a little limelight the week of the World Series and win this thing in his home country and absolutely go ballistic. So I think he'd be motivated, which sometimes we question Hideki how locked in he is or if he's injured or whatever it may be. He's had plenty of rest. He was quite good at the President's Cup up there. He played well. And, you know.
I know it's hard to win on the PGA Tour, but if I told you since the Zozo in 2023 when Morikawa won.
Yep.
That he wouldn't win again all year, and his putting would improve.
And his short game improved. Right?
And a short game, yeah. So if I said to you, look, back in Zozo in 2023, he wins that god-awful trophy. And I said to you, Keith, he is going to improve his short game and his putting pretty significantly. And do you think he would win if those two things happened? And of course, you're going to say, yeah, absolutely. With his ball striking, right?
I would have said he would have won a major.
Yeah. And he hasn't. I mean, his short game, no doubt, much better. His putting, no doubt, much better.
Much better.
I mean, yep. It really is. And he hasn't won in a year. It's crazy.
Yeah. I would have said, based upon him being a top five iron player in the world in those prime yeah. couple of years when he first started, if he ever got good with his chipping and putting, he would win another major. Yeah, I would have featured him to do that, you know. Yeah. And the consistency is there, and that's proof in the putting that, like, if you are good at saving rounds and raising your floor, much to your point about Hideki, Collins, he really raised his floor by getting better with his short game. But man, he's got to kick that iron game back to where it was, top five yep. in the world. It's just not there.
Yeah, that's exactly. Isn't that something? That's yeah. kind of golf, right? Yeah, I got my putting and short game figured out. Now I can't hit my irons.
Yeah, that's golf. Yeah. No truer words forever. No truer words were ever said.
On the flip side was Xander, who's always had more of the complete game, right? Yep. And we know Xander, a couple major championships this year. You know, the Open, of course, then he also won the PGA.
Yeah.
And so two significant wins, two major championships. And I think the improvement for Xander has been just, I think, late on Sunday. I think situational golf, Xander, I think, stepped up because he's always had the game. We know that. Like we you and I have been doing this for a couple of years together, and we have yeah. always talked. I mean, Xander doesn't have a weakness. It's situational golf that holds him back. When the moment hits, is he going to push forward? He started to push forward. He started to win some of these big events, and that's been the difference. So it's just funny how, you know, things line up for golf. All right, let's go. Let's drive the ship now down into the 30s and the 35s. Is there, you take it, any names of interest?
Yeah, I was really impressed up in Montreal with Siwoo, and he's got some decent history here. Again, this is a ball striking accuracy contest. You look at the guys that have won here. It's guys that put the ball in play. They just consistently put the ball in play. It's not a long golf course. A lot of dog legs off the tee. Almost every driving hole has a dog leg, right? You're going to get five approach shots with a perfect lie. You got five par threes. You've got, you know, up and down hills. You got to climb over 230 feet in elevation, and it's a 5-mile walk. You've got tree lined fairways. Siwoo Kim is a really good ball striker. Not the greatest of putters. And this is the type of place where he can excel because his ball striking is going to put him in contention. And then if he doesn't have to go positive three or four with the putter and he could just be positive one, he'll be there close on Sunday. And of all these names up here, and some of them are like a huge surprise. Like I'm not surprised by Hostler being there or Gim being there or Spawn being there, like, or Power, but I'm super surprised. Like Will Zalatoris was nowhere on the betting board. He was triple digits at the end of the season, and now he's back, I guess because this is a ball striker's paradise. Everybody loves Minwoo Lee, except Minwoo Lee doesn't love his own iron game. So, like, this is a huge accuracy contest. And, you know, you've got Max Homa there.
It does feel like a Zalatoris kind of course, though.
Oh, but you're saying that, and I would be saying that, and the books are saying that based off of history. But there's no history this year that leads right. us to believe that he is set in his new golf swing after the back surgery. So it's just interesting to me how when history kind of blends with the books, and all of a sudden they're like, well, everyone's going to bet Zalatoris here, so we've got to drop his number. And you know, it's frustrating to see that or whatever, because Zal should be much higher. And, you know, but another lab putter guy, right? You know, he's had a lot of success there. But in the middle of the board here, I would go with the hot hands. I like Siwoo Kim first, but Hostler catches my attention. dare I say his name out loud, JJ Spawn after the Sanderson. I'll say it. I mean, it's a good fit for him. He's blacklisted for me. It's not, well, I'm not going there, but if you want to go there, you know, that's up to you. But in the middle of the board here, I would lean Doug Gim makes a lot of sense too, man. I mean, like, that's where I would be going. Hostler, Kim, Gim. There you go.
Did you not see enough from Homa at the President's Cup? Max?
Yeah, I mean, memes don't win golf tournaments, as far as I'm concerned.
I mean, right? you got to be a little surprised, don't you, that Homa's right there?
I'm, to be honest considering with you,
considering the way that he's been driving the golf ball.
Well, I was more surprised to see Zalatoris than Homa. Homa at least played the President's Cup. I mean, he wasn't great there.
It's just funny how, like, I got a couple thoughts. Let's start with Will, okay? Because, right, you know, you put Will up real quick. One thing you're going to see two things with Will. One is, he got lower back.
Yep.
That lower back's going to be much flatter. Like, you're not going to see his rear end pushed back as much.
Yep.
You know, his pelvis, for people listening who have lower back pain, you know, keeping your pelvis a little bit more tucked up underneath you is a better deal. Almost like you're sitting on a stool versus really pushing your rear end back. That's something you see with younger players, is they'll push it back and they'll get that dish in the lower back. This is Will post-surgery. So you're going to see that. I think you're going to see Will taller, and I think you're going to see Will, like, more, you know, covering it, kind of on top of it, and not, you know, falling back to the right as much. Taller, more left through the zone. I got to tell you, I thought when we saw him in August, FedEx St. Jude 12th, BMW 13, I thought pretty clean, you know. I don't think it's auto. It's probably not autopilot yet, but I'm really, really, I'm really interested to watch Will this week. I really am.
He's fascinating for sure.
He is. I'm really, really interested to see him this week. I think this is a good course for him. I don't think I'm going to bet him to win, but I do think Will's on his way back. And
that would be the great golf course.
Yeah, and the swing, I think, is getting a little more comfortable and whatnot. So excited there. It's interesting with Homa, right? Homa had a coach, switched to Blackburn, made significant changes, and Homa played great golf. I mean, great golf for a long stretch. And now, I don't know this for sure, but I know he's not working with Mark anymore. And I'm not sure if he went back to what he was doing. I'm not sure. But it's just interesting how the shelf life, you know, of player coach is just limited, no matter who it is. You know, it's just there's a timestamp on it. It doesn't matter how brilliant of a coach or how brilliant of the player is. You know, you're going to have a great run, and then all of a sudden something happens or whatever, and it's a little different, and you kind of get stagnant, and you know, it switches up. So it's just really interesting, the cycle of coach player relationships. But Max, man, I mean, he had to do something, right? I mean, his driver was just a mess.
Could be.
And I'm actually very curious to see him play this week too.
Yeah, I mean, the best example of the coaching carousel is Tiger. You know, like, why would he ever need to switch from Butch?
Right.
I mean, they won four majors in a row. Like, what more do you need to prove that you're doing well? You win, you win three majors, you win one by 15 strokes. The next one, you go to a place where you don't hit a bunker for 4 days, and there's 150 bunkers on the property. You're going steering around, and then you win one in a playoff. Then you wait, you take 7 months off, and then you win another major. I mean, what?
Yeah.
Like, and then we're switching coaches. I mean, it is. It's a carousel. It's crazy.
I mean, four or five times. I mean.
Oh yeah. Yeah. But I tell you, I love Zalatoris. I think he is great for the game. I think he's a building block around that young guy for that Ryder Cup team. He's the type of guy that would really be reliable as a ball striker. He's been so good in major championships. A lot of fun to watch. It'd be great to see him come back. It would. I wouldn't bet him to win this week. But if the trend is your friend, you know, a couple top 15s there in the playoffs is pretty impressive. Those were two good golf courses that he did that on.
Yeah, absolutely. And you start getting down in here in the 60s. I think you got really good momentum right now for Harry Hall, who played really well again last week in Vegas. We were talking about him. Not surprised to see Harry Hall play well. Guy can really putt. And, you know, there's Woodland, who's now all the way down to 66. I got to tell you, I think Woodland, just like Zalatoris, is on his way back. I believe it. We were out in front with it last week. You know, I said, look, he's coming, and that putter's going to turn around. Rumor had it, and it did. And look, Gary Woodland is a wonderful ball striker, folks. Like, woo, wonderful. And he is in that category of Kitsuyama. He goes positive one and a half, two with that putter here. He's got a chance. There ain't no doubt. He's got a chance.
Oh, yeah.
And he knows how to win. And he knows how to win. And I'll tell you right now, if I had to pick one guy in this field that I would want to win, it'd be Gary Woodland. Now, I'm not saying that just because sentimental, and that's the reason why. I'm picking him because I think his ball striking right now is great, and I think his putting is coming. And so I was on him last week. I'm going to stay with him again this week.
All in on Woodland.
Okay. Good. Wow, we're like in agreement.
You mentioned the putter. The putter was there last week. Sometimes, you know, I mean, you got guys like Lucas Glover and Gary Woodland that would putt better blindfolded. Like, honestly, I don't mean that as a joke. Yeah. I mean, it sounds like a joke, but like they would putt better without their eyes. Right. I mean, that's how much it's in there. You know, it might be the same way with Max and his driver right now. I don't know, you know, like, but their brain is in the way. If you give that person a fresh look, as good as they are at ball striking, oh man, you know, and, you know, the golf gods like good stories. And the Zalatoris comeback or the Woodland comeback. I mean, the Woodland comeback is just unbelievable. Those stories of him waking up with the shakes and having brain surgery and everything at his age. And
crazy. Man,
you know, it's just absolutely really, really, really wants to make you root for the guy. And he's a good guy. Like, he's like one of the best guys out there by far. I tell you, that shot to help him win – on the 71st hole where he pitched it off the green at Pebble Beach was one of the most iconic shots of the last 5 years. I mean, that thing, just really impressive. When he pulled that wedge out, everyone watching that on TV was like, how big a divot would I take of the green, you know? And, it's just, you feel good for the guy and the ball striking is really, really good for this golf course because he's really good with his long irons. And he can hit those dog legs and those long par fours that are over four, the five of them that are over 480. That's just in his wheelhouse. That's an area where he can separate where other guys can't separate, where he and Kitsuyama can definitely separate and other guys can't. And that's a huge advantage.
So how far are we going to go down? I mean, I think for me, you could talk me into sprinkling a little on Rio. You know, he's played well here. How do you say it?
Hisatsune.
Yeah. I think Hisatsune. Boy, I have a hard time with that one. I have a hard time with that one. I was trying to have you say it without asking the question. But Rio, I think, he's at 80, 85. I think 85. He's got T6, T12. I mean,
yep.
Arguably playing some of his best golf as a professional right now.
No doubt. And obviously those guys love being at home. Yeah. That's definitely
I could go Rio for sure.
So the reason I asked that is because there's another Rio Ishikawa.
Yep.
Right. And, 2 weeks ago last week was the Japan Open. And for the second year in a row, Ishikawa played really well at the Japan Open. He was top 10 or top 7 or 8 or something like that. And, you know, Ishikawa played good here last year. I don't know about winning, but on a placement card at long odds, I mean, there's a guy right there that could definitely pop that people just take those 14 guys that are from the Japan Tour and throw them out the window. Well, guess what, folks? With no cut and 4 rounds at home, sleeping in your own bed with your own culture surrounding you, your own food and everything and your own time zone, those guys, they have an edge over the 48 guys that just got out of Vegas and they're coming over, right? Looking for, you know, FedEx Cup points. So just a thought there. For me down in that range, What if I throw a little Andrew Putnam at you?
Okay. Go Putnam, huh? Putnam.
Yeah. Yep. He's been playing good.
Finished second here a couple years ago.
Yep.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, just something to think, something to ponder. I think, I don't know, he's just one of those guys like a JT Poston that can just win on the PGA Tour. You know, you never see him coming, but all of a sudden that those guys can win. I don't know. And I don't worry about the putter there. You know, in that range right there where he's sitting, you've got him, KH Lee played good last week. Of course, you've got Rio there. There's a couple names there, you know, that catch my attention.
Joel Damon's has two top 20s.
Joel Damon can't count his clubs. Did you see that story last week?
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, anyway. I love Joel.
I forgot. Ricky finished second here in 2023 also. I totally forgot about that.
Yeah. How about Matt Kuchar going over
with
there?
Putnam.
With golf
Putnam.
Course? Yeah, with Putnam. Yeah.
With yep. Putnam, yeah.
Kuchar hasn't been there before, so that's kind of gives me pause. But Kuchar's been playing great, and this is his kind of golf course, man. This is chess, not checkers. You know, it's not just bomb it and king me. This is like plodding your way around, being a really good scrambler, a really good putter, and taking advantage, and then winning something because your bogey avoidance far outweighs your birdie rate, and you're able to get to 17 under and win the thing. You know, he catches my attention for sure.
All right. All right, so I got Rio down there in the bottom, and we can come up to Putnam's interesting. Yeah, I think that's a. I'll stay with Woodland in that range though at 65.
All right.
I think Harry Hall's playing some good golf.
Well, the board I'm looking at has Gary at 75 and Putnam at 80.
Okay.
So just for the hundreds of people that are watching there on the counter.
Siwoo, what do you got, Matt? 40? Siwoo is at 40 still. Kitayama.
Siwoo, I see. Kitayama. Kitayama's already down to 25.
Yeah.
That's why I wrote about him yesterday. I said, as soon as people model this guy, he's going to be right at the top behind the big three, right? And then everyone's going to bet the heck out of that guy. And the floor just fell out. He was 35 yesterday when I was writing that article. And now he's 25 on the boards. On the aggregator that I'm looking at right here, which I think you and I use the same one. So,
yeah.
Kitayama, right, well, 25. Siwoo's 35. Who else did you like in there? This could be a good Taylor Moore golf course too, by the way. He played good last week. Gary's 75, Putnam's 80. There you go.
So after this week, then we have a bye week.
Yep. Then we go to Mexico.
Then Mexico.
That Tiger course that had the 100-yard wide fairways and EVR won it 27 under. Big birdie fest. Yep. El Diamante, I think it was called.
Yep.
Cabo. Yep. So.
All right, good stuff.
We might even get a Tiger appearance. You know, we're getting close to December. It's Tiger time.
Hopefully he's feeling well. You know, hopefully, it's almost November. So we'll get through four tournaments after the break.
Yep.
Three.
We have three left. We have Worldwide, we have Bermuda, and then we have RSM. And then this is the fifth of eight. And then you got, after Thanksgiving, you've got the Hero, and then that's about it. But I got a question for you.
The match play in Vegas for your boy Bryson and Brooks against Scotty and Roy.
Yeah. I'm curious. We haven't really talked about this before, but they broke the schedule this week for that TGL, right? The Indoor Simulator League. Well, on a scale of 1 to 10, what's your interest in that?
I think I'll say 8.
Oh, nice.
I'm kind of into indoor golf, like, you know, obviously. Yeah, I got a full studio here. So I'm fascinated to see, and I know some people that are working on it, and they've been kind of keeping me up to speed on it, and I'm interested to see how it just kind of lands, you know, the matches and the simulator and the way that they interact with it. And then the way the short game kind of comes more to life, not using the simulator and the format. I'd say 8. I'm reasonably interested. I'm more interested and then that, then I don't know, probably the fall schedule.
Oh, wow. I mean, another season of Live, right?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, so.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I am definitely optimistic. You know, I'm with you up there. I'll give it an 8 or 9. You know, I'll give it 3 or 4 weeks, not just 1 week, but I'll give it 3 or 4 weeks for it to kind of figure itself out. And, like the design of the golf courses and what they're trying to do. And, I give the folks a lot of credit, man, because they're definitely doing something. They're doing something different, and that's hard.
They are very different. Well thought out. I think it's going to come across really cool. Like any other new product, especially with live TV, you know, there's going to be kinks to work out, but yeah. I think they got the right people involved, and I'm eight plus, maybe nine. I'm interested to watch the first couple and then go from there.
I mean, I think a lot of times, and you can tell me how you feel about this, but like when you see something on TV, like a certain golf shot or a view or something like that, and you go, man, I really want to do that. If this projector screen that they're going to hit into is 60 feet wide and 40 feet tall, I'd love to do that just once.
Right.
And see what happens. I mean, a guy like you or I, you know, you're taller than I am, but like you standing in front of that screen would look like, you know, basically a bug on a windshield. Right. And that, and like to smoke a drive into that, however far we hit it or whatever, I think that would be really cool to do. You know,
like, I can't wait until the first player is like, well, I think that distance is not right. The simulator's wrong. I mean, that's, you know, you know how many times we get that in here, right. In the men's league. I hit my driver, you know, like.
No. I carry it 306. Come on.
I can't wait. 247. Who's the first one that's like, nah, I think that simulator is wrong. I hit it a lot longer than that.
I think it's going to be interesting because that's a pretty big commitment for those guys. Like 15 weeks of that thing. You know, I know they only play like once every 3 weeks or something like that. Right. But like, between that and all the signature events that are front loaded before the Masters, we're going to see a lot of these stars pretty often, which is kind of cool for golf, I think.
Yeah.
You know?
I think it's going to be fascinating. I really do. I think it's really an interesting concept, and I think most people are going to give it a go. And I think if it's entertaining, it lands well. I mean, indoor golf is different. You know, the learning curve, there's a learning curve, especially here in Florida. And, you know, what can you really get done indoors? A lot. You know, when I'm working on technique and helping players their games, there's a lot you can done. Now, can you get everything done? No. I mean, eventually you'll play golf on a golf course. I get that.
Yeah.
But, you know, 15, 25 handicap or even a scratch player comes in here and they got something to work out, right? I mean, get good numbers, good video, good tech. Let's take a look at it. Here's what we want to do. Let's work on it. Let's get some, you know, get some training going on, and then, you know, then take it outdoors. So there's a lot you can get done. They're, you know, the simulators are very versatile in the graphics and the way that you can interact with Grant and games and other things they can do. So I'm curious to see like the graphics package, right? And just the way all that lands just with the basics of, okay, they hit a drive and how far did it go and those kinds of things.
Yeah. It looks, the stuff I've seen is cool, man. And, I'm happy to hear that you're excited about it because I'm excited about it too. I mean, I think that I'm not against LIV or anything, but you did the same thing that everybody else does. And they say that it's like, you know, it's different because it's a shotgun and they wear shorts. But like, you know, 90% of the country plays golf in shotguns and shorts. You know what I mean? Like that didn't reinvent the wheel. This is like really trying to engage somebody different toward the sport.
I think so.
And, you know, I'm excited to hear that it's kind of building some momentum with all the announcements and everything. And I meant to ask you a couple times, but I'm glad I remembered. And I'm even more excited that you're into it because I'm into it too. And we'll see where it goes.
All right, man. Keith Stewart at Read the Line. We are off next week. Got a couple instructional pods coming at you. So stay tuned for that. Have a good week, everybody.
See you in 2.